And in those days, Hezekiah became deathly ill. Now, me being a healing minister, I'm thinking, okay, this guy, God just got through telling me he's a good king. He's obeying me in all things, so I'm going to protect you. But during those days of all that, all of a sudden Hezekiah comes down deathly sick. Well, in Isaiah and in Chronicles, you'll find your answer. It says, in those days, whenever the gifts begin to come into Jerusalem, pride rose up in Hezekiah's heart. Everybody's saying, oh, Hezekiah, you're such a great king. We love you. Here's all these wonderful gifts. And he's all of a sudden, he's beginning to say, oh, yeah, I am. Ooh, I am a little. Yeah, I am pretty good. You know how easy it is for men to get into that rut? When something starts happening like it did, and in those days, Hezekiah became deathly ill because of pride. And you'll find it in Chronicles. Now, in Kings, where you read the story the first time, it's not in there. So you think, well, Lord, I don't understand. If he became sick, you just got through saying he was a good king. So you see right there, that when you say sickness always goes hand in hand with sin, that's not the case for Hezekiah, somebody would say. But now I say, have you read the book of Isaiah in its fullness and in the book of Chronicles 1 and 2? Because if you have, there you'll find out why he was sick, because of pride. And when he got rid of his pride, did God forgive him?
Amen.
But how many years did he give him?
15
Only 15. That means he still died at 55. When you're as old as you and me, Ernest, that ain't a very old man, is it?
Ain't very old.
We passed 55 a long time ago, way back yonder. But praise God, we're still going. So you see, this is the thing we need to learn to ask as church members. If we come down sick with anything, this is the question we need to ask. I see, I've been asking this question for years. I mean, for years. You know, since I was talking about Sharon there a while ago and what we did for her, when Sharon came to us 5 years ago or 6 years ago, whatever it was, when I asked her, she came up, I always called her my basket case because she had so many things wrong with her. She had aneurysm, her brain, you know, she had an arm wouldn't work, a hip wouldn't work, a back had been giving her trouble for years and years and years. This woman had been to doctors, two or three times a week for 20-something years, right, Sharon? And she was suffering tremendously. And she said, now, Pastor, I want you to know before you pray for me, I go to a good church and I've been prayed for over 100 times and no results. I said, have you ever confessed your sin? What? What sin? I said, well, there was a sin that brought this on. So think back when it first started happening, what kind of sin did you get involved with? No, she thought of one. I said, well, you got to repent of that. And so she repented of that. And she said, I said, now what scripture did you use to base your faith on? Well, I never used a scripture. I said, well, see what you got. Nothing. I said, Jeremiah 1:12, the king says, I watch over my word to perform my word, not yours, his. So I said, you find a promise in his word that guarantees he'll do what he promised, and then we'll stand on that. I said, then we have to ask in faith. I said, well, if we don't ask in faith, it still don't happen. But I said, when I pray for you, young lady, I'm going to guarantee you in the name of Jesus, you repent of that sin. I'm going to take this scripture, we're going to use it, and I'm going to pray in faith, and I'm going to guarantee you the King of the universe, he's going to heal you because he made you the promise. And Sharon got well.
Amen.
5 or 6 years ago, now then this lovely lady here, instead of being a basket case and have somebody to drive her to the healing school, she runs all over the place and she prays for people, and there ain't nothing wrong with her today.
Amen.
See? But how many times have we seen that duplicated over and over and over? And this ministry is one of the few ministries when people call in to our prayer warriors, which we got lots, the first question they ask them when they say, I'm sick and I need you to pray for me, they say, well, we need to find your sin. Now, some people, that just turns them off. I mean, I've had them that's got healed later that's told me, man, I wasn't just taken back a little bit with that statement. I was taken back a lot with that statement. But after they got healed, they don't have a problem with it no more. So why do we never ask that question? Who did sin that this man was born blind? Who did sin? Because under the curse and the blessings, as we read the old covenant, you'll find out that if we don't sin, he clearly says over and over and over, if you don't sin, I'll take how much sickness away from you?
All.
Now, don't you like that?
Yes, sir.
But you know, the thing about it is, we sin and we don't know what sin is. That's what our problem is in the church today. Just like the woman that was in a wheelchair, not in a wheelchair, the woman that was on the bed up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. They brought this woman to us, and that first night when Cheryl went over and saw her on the bed, she went over there and asked her if she had unforgiveness. She began to try to find her sin. She found her sin. She had unforgiveness. She repented. She called me and said, "Honey, come pray for this woman." I went and prayed for her. Nothing happened. So, I mean, hey, am I the healer? No, I just get to pray the prayer of faith. That's all I get to do. The healer, he knows what he's doing. Well, that obviously was not all the sin. Cheryl found that sin. That woman stayed every service for three services. They brought her in three services, three afternoons in a row, and she laid on that little mat. They brought her in, and the third afternoon, when I started to pray for people, I said, "If you've been prayed for before, don't come down, because I got an airplane to catch and I got a lot of people to pray for." But this woman, they brought her down. She said, "Sir, I know you prayed for me the first day," but she said, "In the last 2 days, I found my other sins." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "I never heard anybody say God hates grumbling and complaining." But she said, "I have grumbled and complained my whole life." And she said, I've been a habitual grumbler and complainer. I didn't know God hated it. I didn't know it would make me sick. But you showed me in the Word where that's what God said it, where He even said He sent the destroyer to kill them because they grumble and complain. She said, "I didn't know that." And she said, "I never heard anybody say I have to submit or obey my husband." And she said, "I've been married to him years and years and years." And she said, "I have done everything but obey my husband. I do what I want to do when I want to do it." She said, "It's a wonder he stayed with me." I said, "Well, yeah, I guess that's true too." I said, "Have you repented of everything?" She said, "Yes." She said, "I have repented of everything. I'm ready to be prayed for again." We prayed for that woman again. Cheryl said, "Let's get her up." We got the woman up. We walked all over across the front of the church, taking little bitty tiny steps, which got bigger and bigger. And then Cheryl turned to go up the platform with her and one of the ushers that was going to help her. And before they got to the top of the stairs, the woman was running on her own, ran out in the parking lot, completely, totally healed. Now, if we'd have never asked the question, who did sin? What is your sin? That woman would still be sick today. Because that sin is what put her down there. How many sins did you have? Unforgiveness. That'll bring a tormenting spirit to you, the Word of God says. Grumbling and complaining. God says, in 1 Corinthians 10, you ought to read that. If you hadn't read it lately, you'll find out where God hates grumbling and complaining. Philippians 2:14, He says the same thing. And then submission. It's all over the book. Wives, you must submit to your husband in all things. But he's not worthy to me to submit to. It don't make any difference with God. If you married him, that's your fault. If you married him, you got to obey God. Is that right, Esther? That's what the Lord said, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, and it's amazing. But, you know, God did say husbands love that girl, too, like he loved the church, you know. Now, he gonna let you off that easy, Ernest. It's like he's going to let me off that easy. I mean, he's going to get me if I don't love that woman. You know that? And there's a lot of men sick. In fact, God clearly says in His Word, He doesn't say if the wife doesn't submit, He won't answer her prayer. But to the husband, He does. Husbands, if you don't love your wife like Christ loved the church, He said, "I just won't answer your prayer." And there's a lot of men in church today that are praying, even pastors that are sick and afflicted and are dying, and they can't get healed because there's a sin in their life somewhere, and nobody believes these scriptures. Who sinned? But when we find that sin and we repent of that sin, it works, doesn't it? It works. I've seen it over and over and over. If you want to please God, how are you going to have to walk? By the Spirit. You're going to have to walk led by the Spirit. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 and 6 in the King James Bible. The NLT is okay. So Christ has really set us free. Has He really? Do you feel like you're free? You knew it. You're free if you know it. So Christ has really set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. Now wait a minute. Why would He ask a question like that? If He set you free, then how can you not stay free? By sin. That's exactly right. It's real easy to be led by the flesh again, isn't it? I mean, we raise this beast from the dead on a regular basis. I mean, it's amazing how easy it is. I mean, that's just like this sweet little woman. Her and her husband used to come to my Sunday school class when I was a Baptist teacher. And she was the sweetest little thing you've ever seen in your life. I mean, she's just a little doll. I mean, just a sweet little lady. You would think this little gentle thing, you know, she would never read anybody the riot act. But I only saw her at church. I didn't know when somebody crossed her up, boy, she could tell you how the cow eat the cabbage, I'm telling you. Until she started me teach these things and she got a hold of it. She repented. And she turned away from that. Today, she is the sweetest little thing. I mean, you can walk up to her and slap her in the face. And she said, did I offend you somewhere? I'm so sorry. You know, I just love you in Jesus' name. Now, a few years ago, you walk up and just say something wrong to her. Man, she'd just tear you up. But see, she was free for a little while, and then she got back in bondage, didn't she? That's absolutely right. But it says here, so Christ has really set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ cannot help you. Now see, not only circumcision, but that's anything besides Jesus. If you're depending on anything else to keep you free, then Christ can't help you. Verse 3 and 4. I'll say it again. Now, this is for us guys, so we make sure we get it. If you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey all of the regulations and the whole law of Moses. Now, has there ever been any human being on this earth beside Jesus that ever could do that? No, not one of us. For if you are trying to make yourself right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. I read that many a time and didn't understand it. But now I understand it. I know that on that path to eternal life, I'm walking the narrow path. I'm being led by the Spirit. And the Word of God is a lamp under my feet. And I'm watching and I'm walking this little bitty narrow path. And I've given this example many times. I were to take and cut a hole in that wall right there and put a platform 5 foot above the floor, put a stair on the other side where you come up and you walk through that hole.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, Who Sinned? In its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to the Living Savior Ministries teaching online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.